Today is Wednesday, October 14th. The latest Supreme Court nominee faces day two of questioning. We'll update you on what she said so far about hot-button issues. And remember that plot to kidnap Michigan's governor? Apparently, she wasn't the only target considered. Plus, the two top athletes who tested positive for COVID-19, new rules for future moon missions, and details about Apple's lineup of 5G smartphones. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is in for another day of grilling from senators today, but don't expect her to weigh in too much on any past cases. Already during the first day of questioning, lawmakers brought up certain controversial issues like Obamacare and gay marriage. But Judge Barrett said she won't be giving a thumbs up or down on any of the court's past precedents or on future cases, and she's likely to stick to that policy today. It's similar to how some other Supreme Court nominees have handled these hearings as well. Still, there were some questions Judge Barrett did answer yesterday. For example, on the landmark abortion rights case, Roe v. Wade. Again, Barrett would not say whether she thought the case was rightly or wrongly decided, but she did say the case should not be considered a super precedent. So what does that mean exactly? Well, as the New York Times defines it, a super precedent is a case that's so deeply embedded in the fabric of the law that it should be especially hard to overturn. And we should note, even though Judge Amy Coney Barrett did not directly weigh in this week, she has in the past publicly identified herself as an abortion opponent. Still, she says she will put her beliefs aside when ruling on cases if she's confirmed to the high court. And that includes a decision about the November election. Some Democrats suggest she should recuse herself from a potential Supreme Court decision about the outcome of the presidential race, especially after President Trump has made public comments that he wants a ninth justice confirmed in time to, quote, look at the ballots. The Washington Post talked to an ethics expert who said, never before has a justice been asked to decide if the president who appointed him or her should keep being president. But Barrett wouldn't say one way or the other, just that it was too soon to decide if she should or shouldn't step back from a hypothetical case, and that any decision would be made after consulting with her colleagues. She added she won't allow herself to be used as a pawn to decide the election. As for what's next, this Senate panel will wrap things up over the next couple of days. Then the committee's chairman, Senator Lindsey Graham, says Barrett could be confirmed by the full Senate by October 27th. Stay tuned. The men arrested for that in-depth plot to kidnap Michigan's governor had their first day in court, and at that hearing, federal prosecutors revealed some disturbing new details about the case. One FBI agent said the suspects were not just after Governor Gretchen Whitmer, but they also discussed targeting Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, too, though no one has been charged with plotting that crime. The agent said they had issues with both Democratic governors, though, for issuing lockdown orders in the spring. The plotting apparently happened after President Trump tweeted, "Liberate Michigan and liberate Virginia." Now, that said, it's not clear if those tweets actually inspired these men, but both governors have accused the president of fueling this kind of extremism. The White House pushed back on that, though, saying President Trump supports the law enforcement who took down these criminals. Either way, the suspects' defense attorneys suggest their clients were just big talkers who didn't actually intend to follow through with any of the actions. For now, the suspects will stay in jail since the judge denied bail. If convicted, these men could face life in prison. For the second day in a row, a trial for a potential COVID-19 remedy was put on hold. This time, it was Eli Lilly who had to stop enrollment in its antibody treatment study. The drug maker has been testing the antiviral drug remdesivir with an experimental antibody therapy. It's similar to a treatment President Trump recently received. But there was some kind of safety concern with this trial, and the drug maker had to press pause. We don't know the details of the issue yet, but this is normal protocol. It doesn't necessarily mean the whole study is a bust. Safety issues can often be quickly resolved, so we'll see what happens next. Remember, this comes just one day after Johnson & Johnson had to pause its vaccine trial because a volunteer got sick, and over a month after AstraZeneca's vaccine trial was put on hold for the same reason. But again, it isn't clear yet if the vaccines caused those illnesses or if the volunteers got sick by chance. Safety reviews for all three are now underway. Time is almost up to fill out the 2020 census. The Supreme Court ruled this week the Census Bureau is allowed to stop the population count 2 weeks early. The deadline has been all over the place lately, though. Originally set for August, it was pushed back to October 31st because of the pandemic, then suddenly changed to the end of September, then challenged in court and pushed back again. Well, now it looks like you only have until tomorrow. As a reminder, the census is essentially a population count of the U.S. that's required by the Constitution and happens every 10 years. The results impact how much representation your area could get in Congress and where federal tax dollars end up. And this year, it's been controversial for a few reasons, one of them being when it should end. The Trump administration said it needs to stop right away to meet an end-of-year deadline. But civil rights groups have argued that ending it early could mean minorities could be undercounted. Technically, the Supreme Court did not outright agree that the count should stop, but the ruling pauses the count until an appeals court officially sorts it out. And since we're so close to the deadline anyway, that effectively ends the count completely, at least until the year 2030. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, this episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. Do you ever crave a bowl of cereal? I'll actually want cereal as an afternoon snack quite often, but for years I gave cereal up thinking it wasn't healthy enough. Well, now I'm a big fan of Magic Spoon. This is a guilt-free cereal that has zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. For those looking for keto-friendly, gluten-free, GMO-free, soy-free, and grain-free, Magic Spoon is it. And all the flavors are so good. I've always liked the fruity ones, but right now, my favorite is the limited-time Nutty Box. It comes with honey nut and peanut butter. The honey nut literally tastes like a bowl of honey, and the peanut butter is like a peanut butter cookie. So get yours at magicspoon.com/newsworthy, and be sure to use our promo code newsworthy at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee, so if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/newsworthy, and use the code newsworthy for free shipping. All right, now back to the news. Apple has now unveiled its newest fleet of iPhones. As expected, the company revealed 4 different versions of its new iPhone 12 during its virtual event yesterday. The new phones vary in size and price, but all of them support 5G, a super-fast wireless network. Though keep in mind, for now, 5G is not available everywhere, and even where it is, it's not always that much faster than 4G, at least not yet. And on top of 5G, Apple says the new iPhone 12s will be more durable and have better cameras. They'll apparently take sharper photos and be better in low light. The phones also come in a wide array of sizes. For example, the iPhone 12 mini has a 5.4-inch screen. Or there's the iPhone 12 Pro Max. Its display is larger than 6.5 inches, which is Apple's biggest ever. The phones range in price from about $700 to $1,100. You'll be able to start pre-ordering some of them on Friday. It's worth noting, though, the new iPhone 12s will not come with headphones or a charging brick. Apple says at this point, most people already have plenty of those, so it's leaving them out to cut down on waste. Oh, and Apple also revealed other new products like the HomePod mini speaker. There's a new set of rules for exploring the moon. The U.S. led 8 countries in signing on to the Artemis Accords. The agreement basically calls on participating countries to work together and explore sustainability. For example, people cannot leave space junk behind, and all countries need to pitch in and help when there's an astronaut emergency. The new rules also ban secrecy. Scientific data must be shared. All launch objects have to be identified and registered, and everyone's equipment needs to be compatible. So far, the U.S., Australia, Canada, Italy, Japan, Luxembourg, the U.K., and the United Arab Emirates have all agreed to the Artemis Accords. Russia is on the fence right now, saying the rules are U.S.-centric. And the AP reports China could not even sign on if it wanted to, and that's because of a 2011 law that says NASA can't sign agreements with China, citing a high risk of spying. Well, the new coronavirus is still sweeping through the world of sports, affecting athletes at the top of their fields. First, the NFL now says it's going to start doing COVID-19 tests on game days. That's on top of the regular testing it was already doing. The new protocol will begin this week. Remember, 2 teams are already dealing with outbreaks, forcing the league to reshuffle its schedule a few times so far. COVID-19 is affecting golf and soccer stars, too. The world's top-ranked golfer, Dustin Johnson, has now tested positive for COVID-19. He's apparently experiencing symptoms and will sit out this week's CJ Cup in Las Vegas. Also, a soccer player who many consider to be the best in the world also tested positive. Cristiano Ronaldo confirmed he has the virus and is in isolation, but is so far not showing any symptoms. Well, the 2020 Billboard Music Awards are happening tonight, and they will happen in person. Singer Kelly Clarkson is set to host the event for her 2nd year in a row. There will also be a ton of performances from stars like Alicia Keys, BTS, Demi Lovato, Garth Brooks, Post Malone, and more. But only the performers will be there on stage. There will not be anyone in the audience. As far as the nominees, rapper Post Malone is the one to beat. He scored 16 nominations, including ones for Top Artist and Top Rap Song. Other big nominees include Lil Nas X, who was up for 13 nominations. Billie Eilish and Khalid each received 12 nods. You can watch the Billboard Music Awards tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, a quick announcement. You can now get paid to share the Newsworthy with your friends, family, and coworkers. One of the best ways to support this show is to share it, so we want to pay you to do that as a thank you. Get $5 for every 10 friends you refer to the Newsworthy, up to $100. All you have to do is sign up to get your unique referral link, then share it out. Think email, text, Facebook groups, DMs, however you want to do it, and tell people why they should check out the show. It could be the easiest $100 you make all year, and you'll be supporting the Newsworthy along the way. Look for the link to sign up in today's episode notes in your app, or simply go to thenewsworthy.com/referral. You have now until the end of October to refer as many friends as you want and make some money. Plus, I'll be giving the top sharers a shout out on the show next month. Again, go to thenewsworthy.com/referral to get your link. All right, so today's Work Wednesday is about how more and more women are leaving the workforce. The nonprofit newsroom, The 19th, reports about 865,000 U.S. women dropped out of the workforce last month. And that's compared to just 216,000 men. In fact, more women left the labor force than the total number of jobs added. The report says there's a few reasons for this trend. For starters, women make up the majority of the workforce in industries that have been hit hard this year, like retail and hospitality. The coronavirus crisis has also complicated childcare, forcing some women to leave their jobs to stay home or even start homeschooling their kids. A report published by Lean In shows working mothers have been three times more likely than men to take on the majority of childcare and housework during the pandemic. This reshuffling of the workforce could have long-term consequences. Experts say in many ways, women will be the engine of future economic growth. And that's partly because they graduate from college at higher rates than men. So experts add, the female workforce is worth protecting. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.